what are the things you can't explain to people not from Alaska? Just try and you watch their eyes glaze over. Good morning and welcome to Talk of Alaska. I'm Steve Heimel. It can be frustrating, but at least we can all be frustrated together, can't we? What's Alaskan and why? Both my guests were born and raised here, and they have their ideas of what's Alaskan. But what about you? 1-800-478-8255, toll free, 478-TALK, email talk at APRN.org. What's Alaskan anyway? On Talk of Alaska, statewide.
Today's program is underwritten in part by EcoTrust, working to encourage economic development, healthy communities, and healthy salmon in the Copper River watershed. On the web at ecotrust.org/copper river. And by BP Alaska. BP is focused on the future, getting more oil out of Prudhoe Bay and bringing Alaska's gas to North America. Crane accidents are on the rise around the nation, and making sure that crane operators are properly trained and certified is crucial to minimizing accidents in Alaska. Equally important is ensuring that riggers and signal persons are adequately trained. More information is available at 1-800-656-4972. Good, safe jobs are Alaska's future. This message is sponsored by the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development.
Cold snaps and earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, bear in the backyard, veto corruption, fat checks from government that make our hearts sing. These are peculiar Alaska things. Softball at midnight. Oops. Winter moon at mid-morning. Alaska's the frontier of global warming. The dead hand of government we fond of bewailing. But we got our revenge. It's Governor Palin. When the dog bites, when the cold stings. But the air is clear. So clear that from many a village and town, you can see Canada from here. There you go.
All right.
So I'm done.
All right. That is the voice of Peter Dunlap Scholl. He is may have sounded a bit like his editorial cartoons in the Anchorage Daily News, but he's branched out to filmmaking and now radio. Pete, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Thank you, Steve. And I'd like to welcome you to Talk of Alaska as well. Nobody ever says that to you, and I think it's wrong.
I appreciate that. And I do feel quite at home. Well, thank you so much. So you were born and raised in Alaska?
Well, Steve, we have to start with a correction here. I was not born in Alaska. I came here when I was a year and a half. It's a long way to walk, but it was what I had to do back then.
All right. All right. And
but I was raised here, yeah. Grew up here. I can't remember California, where I was born.
In your perspective of career development, at what age did you become a cartoonist for the newspaper?
Well, I became a cartoonist for the newspaper at about, I guess it was 23.
Ooh.
So it was like 25 years of laugh riot. Now it's just riot.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you being here. And, of course, you've already gone through a whole bunch of uniquely Alaskan things.
Sure. I've been through major oil spills, the 64 earthquake, corruption. That's like national headline stuff. It's like I've survived it all. I feel like that's the Alaskan in me, is the thing that survives disaster.
Well, also with us is Shannon Moore. Welcome to Talk of Alaska. Welcome back, I guess I'll say.
Thanks, Steve. Nice to be here.
Yeah. Last time, I'm trying to remember what you were here to talk about last time. I think it was politics and blogging and political.
We were talking about how I think the last election affected Alaska, which, you know, as Peter hit, is part of the survival instinct that we all have.
Well, okay, here we are, tourist season. Here, when I go downtown.
Remember the old bumper sticker? If it's tourist season, can we shoot them? What's the bag limit?
You could try, but if you people from Princess America will run out and drag you off to
right,
a
but
deep,
I mean, that was,
hole,
I mean,
you'll never be seen again.
Years
but
ago, the, that was a.
Yeah.
That was one of the sort of theories on
that. Well, it's a major part of the Alaska economy, and certainly we welcome our visitors. But at the same time, let's face it, you go downtown Anchorage, and the minute people find out, oh, you're really an Alaskan, it starts, you know, the questions. And before long, you realize there's some things you just can't explain.
Right. Well, I think that the best question I've ever been asked by a tourist was on, I lived in Halibut Cove for some time, and And I was asked on the deck of the Danny J how far above sea level we were. And I actually, you know, said, actually, we're below it because it's low tide right now. But, you know, that's not an uncommon question. I had put up on my blog asking people the same question. What's uniquely Alaskan about us? And several people that had hit their top experiences, like one of the things you can't really explain.
Well, yeah. I mean, tide books. Why you need a tide book? You know,
it's the only reason you need a watch, in my opinion.
So you can walk across the Fire Island, obviously, and get pulled out halfway over there.
They put out a warning about that after that article in the paper.
Yeah, I'm afraid that.
It's like Darwin Award waiting to happen. It's just dumb.
Yeah.
Why don't you go to Katmai and rub some peanut butter on your butt? I mean, right. It's just crazy.
You can do that in your backyard here. You don't have to go to Katmai.
That's true.
The telephone number, 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-TALK. A local call in Anchorage at 550-8422. Email talk at APRN.org. Let me look and see. So far, no emails. And our guests are Shannon Moore, talk show host, Peter Dunlap-Scholl, cartoonist and filmmaker. And we have our ideas of what's Alaskan, but what is your idea? I brought one up in doing the promo for the show that I thought everybody would know, but they don't, and that's Blazo boxes.
See, we had Blazo boxes for kitchen cabinets at our fish site cabin.
Of course you did.
They were fabulous.
We lived in a Blazo box and turned again after the earthquake. I'm sorry.
You win.
Okay, thank you. That's another thing. Alaskans are very competitive.
We are. You know what's really funny is that, like, I've been attending the assembly meetings here, of course, for years, actually. But it doesn't matter where you go.
Just in the last month, it's been years.
Yes, it has. But it doesn't matter where you go. Alaskans qualify themselves by how long they've lived here.
Right. Isn't it amazing?
And so, like, I can just be like, well, I was born here. You know, and then it's like, well, how old are you? Like, are you nuts? Like, it is this weird competition. And I've actually got this in a discussion once, which was, yeah, but you're from Homer and I'm from Fairbanks. Like, what does that mean? That you're crazier? It's colder there, so you win the Great Alaska War.
But you're from Southeast, so that doesn't really count.
That's like what is that, Western Canada? Well, you know, we have this sort of scale and this sort of class system of how Alaskan are you, you know, and just how many years you've been here or where they're at.
Well, you know, part of it is just cultural, because obviously it's totally different for an Alaska native. A native person grew up in a native tradition and so forth.
Sure.
And they're going to see this completely different than a white person in Alaska, because the very notion of what's Alaskan is kind of ridiculous if it's your entire heritage.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this when you had asked me to come on, and I was thinking, I don't know what it is to be anybody else. I've always been, I've lived other places for university or for whatever, but I've never been anything but. Even when I was there, I was Alaskan.
Right.
So
in some ways, it's hard to see the forest for the trees, because you should get somebody on here that just showed up like a year ago, and then they could have some fresh impressions about how quirky we are.
But I remember when I first came back in 1982.
That's long enough, Steve. Anybody can trust that? Besides me and Shannon, anybody got more years than Steve? Call up and tell us how long you've been here.
Or
I'll sing
listening,
again.
Listening to the advertisements for running for office that year for the state legislature. That was the year the Republicans took over the state legislature. And the campaign rhetoric was astounding to me, because it's as if they were talking to what was basically, you know, elect me. I don't believe in taxes. I believe in guns. I'm pretty much a fascist, just like you. And this was deemed to be something that would get you votes, and indeed it did.
Right.
I'm thinking that off of what you say, Pete, about the first blush of someone new to the place,
right.
that what I got was, there's this rank opportunism here. Well, and I haven't really changed my mind about that. It's like, no matter what the occasion is, there's somebody wanting to make a buck off of it here.
The other thing is,
from the gold rush on.
Think of that, the famous turkey video with Governor Palin. So everybody's like outside still going,
Gobblegate?
She's like sitting there and these turkeys are being killed behind her and all the Alaskans are going, yeah, let's kill more turkeys. Let's kill some bears and some moose while we're at it. I mean, that's...
Well, is there any way to kill turkeys out of an airplane? That's what I want to know.
You can shoot them from an airplane? I don't know. They look up when it rains.
I think you can actually just drop them out of an airplane. They can't fly.
Well, you heard about the radio station at today Thanksgiving promotion to give away turkeys by dropping them out of an airplane. Unfortunately, they were frozen. Not such a good idea.
Bad idea.
You know, who turned up to catch the turkeys? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably a totally apocryphal.
They thaw
on
the way down because the friction warms them up and they're cooked when they get to the bottom.
I think people used to be nicer here.
I think that might be true.
I think
except
people
for me,
I've always
been nasty.
Yeah.
That's what the old timers always say.
You know what? People were so much nicer when things were harder here.
Well, it used to be that cabins were left unlocked, and still cabins are unlocked.
Right, right. But
it would be out of, probably not around Anchor Point. You probably don't leave your cabin.
I don't even think we had a lock on the door. Oh. I don't even think there was one there to lock. And you know, if someone needed something, they could drop by and pick it up or whatever. But it's more than that. It used to be that, and this is my impression from growing up on the peninsula, was that there was this sort of survivalist thing that, you know, if you broke down on the side of the road, it didn't matter what your bumper stickers were. Somebody was going to stop and help you. It didn't matter what their bumper stickers were. They were going to stop and help you. And this sort of the politics and the religiosity and all of these things really weren't that relevant because you had to all get along to get along. And so I think people were way more tolerant of each other. And we had these sort of really colorful characters everywhere, and everybody just sort of hung out. It wasn't a big divisive thing that we see now, and I don't know if that's just because, you know, now life's just a lot easier. We don't need each other the same way we did.
Go ahead, Pete. To some extent, we were sick. We reflect what goes on outside, much as we don't like to believe that, and people are meaner everywhere, I think, in a sense. We have less time. We've got more responsibilities. It's just people don't have time for people anymore. Outside Alaska or in Alaska, I don't think.
I don't know. We're getting awful serious here. But, you know, it's small townism. You know,
right.
Alaska is sort of a small town because you have to fly to places and whatnot. And certainly there are people that don't really leave the village much and stuff like that. But for the most part, Alaskans have to do quite a bit of traveling. They get to know one another. And it's not unusual in the airport to run into people from all over the state.
I've run into people I knew in the airport in Rome.
Yeah.
I think
from Alaska.
Chicago. I ran into him in Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, everywhere you try, if you're in an airport, there's a good chance you'll see another Alaskan.
I think one of the things that you can determine Alaska is just check how many frequent flyer miles they have.
Yeah. Oh, that's another way to gauge each other.
Yeah.
Totally. How many years you've been here and how many airline miles do you
right.
have?
Right.
Yeah. And did they take them away yet? I think I got 80,000 or something on Delta, and I'm not sure I still have them.
I'm not sure we still have Delta, do we?
Yeah. Well, okay. In a way. Okay. This one comes in.
We don't have Reeve anymore, unfortunately.
I like this, and already they're starting. There's a whole stack of emails here. This one from Palmer, where Rebecca says, I worked for a while at the Muskox Farm in Palmer and was swarmed with friendly, eager tourists. And the best question I ever got when checking out a woman is if we accepted American money or if she needed to use
her rubles. We want rubles, is what we want.
Yeah, we can see the rubles bank from our house.
Actually, there was a while when we were taking rubles.
You know, I've gotten that question before. We're going to need that in American funds. And I also was making a furniture order once to North Carolina. And they had done this big promo that they were giving free shipping to the contiguous United States.
Right. Oh,
or
yeah,
to the
that.
Continental United States is what they had written. So I was like, fabulous.
We're part of the continent.
And so I call down. I do this huge furniture order. And I was like, okay, I'll take my free shipping. Here's my address. And she's like, oh, no, we're only the continental United States. And I was like, lady, what continent do you think I'm on?
Well,
I swear she thought I was like, you know, the Today Show map, like we're
right,
the island off the
California.
Coast of Arizona,
yeah.
Right. Which, by the way, you know.
Well, yeah. And what, actually, that is an Alaskan thing is you sort of have to mail order and you quickly discover you're discriminated against.
Right. And when I was a kid, I was
asked. You're mailing bricks.
I was asked like something about, oh, I like what you're wearing. Where did you get that? I was a little kid, right? And I said, from the post office. And everything
they said, oh, government's
we got.
Out of control now.
It was like the mall. It was like going to the mall. It was going to the post office. And you never went to the post office with my dad that you were not there for an hour, which was, you know, it was – that's the social
hub. Oh, absolutely.
Hub.
See, that's small townism again.
Right. Right. And so – and that was great. And I still remember our little combo was 316.
Oh, nice.
You know, like, and I could remember it because it was John 316.
So she's still willing to give out secure information over there. She's still living in the old Alaska.
Where did you get that furniture off the barge?
Yeah, exactly.
Except for the Blazo boxes. Actually, they came in on a barge too.
But ordering your school clothes in June from JCPenney and Sears and Roebuck.
Right, it's like living in the Appalachians in 1930 or something like that.
Well, yeah.
All right, from Mark comes this one, dip netting the Copper River at Chitna. That's Alaskan.
No doubt.
How many places can they dip net? And then he also adds in, you know, we make it sound a little easier than it really is because you can fall off of those rocks.
You can,
and
easily. But
you'll be dead.
And you'll be dead. You fool, you're dead. No,
salmon will be eating you.
There is something unique about harvesting your own food.
For sure.
Certainly.
And you can still do that.
Oh, and,
yeah.
and
stuff.
And we can do that, you know, when you go moose hunting and put that in your freezer or, you know, fish, halibut. That's something that people in town do.
Or if you hit a moose, they'll come and take it to the rescue mission.
You know, when I was a kid, my dad was the principal of the school down on the peninsula. And we had he was like one of the people that would know what families were in need.
Right.
And so whenever a moose was hit on the road, we were like, you know, who needs the meat? Kind of, you know, you walk out of the garage and walk right into a moose quarter.
Right. I've got a hunk of moose here.
Oh, we got to drop that by so-and-so's, you know.
Let's go to the phones. Fairbanks. Dave, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Hi. I guess this is kind of covered a little bit, but I just wanted to express that isn't it a shame that we've got all the things that we can get in the lower 48 right here in towns like Fairbanks and Anchorage and elsewhere. And, boy, wouldn't it be nice if that stuff wasn't available? I'm sure there's a lot of hardcore Alaskans out there in the Fairbanks area who have this image of being an Alaskan, and yet, boy, they're at Walmart and Home Depot and all those big stores now in Fairbanks every day. So,
yeah,
I don't know what you guys have to say about that?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I couldn't wait till we got a Best Buy here. I remember that.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I miss the old stores. I miss Proctor's.
Oh yeah.
And I miss the sort of family owned places. I agree.
I loved it when Eagle got here, but then McKay's went out of business. Boy, that was a bad trade.
That was a bad trade.
But see, that's what's funny is that we're all in this together, and then we all totally take a dive to these the new shiny lure in town, whatever it is. And you know, I refuse to go to franchises, like the restaurant franchises, because I think we have so many great local things. But That's sort of like Alaska
spirit.
Okay,
anybody spot Shannon at McDonald's, we want you to call in because we want to know about that.
We'll have an alert. Put it right on the net.
It'll be Shannon alert.
No,
they'll stop all the
you know
radio
what I mean.
Programs.
I like the local owned. I like walking in and seeing the owner.
Well, okay, here's one that hasn't come up yet. Extra Tufts. I was born in California, brought to Southeast.
Oh, who is this guy born in California? Oh,
was
65.
Was so excited to get my first pair of Extra Tufts back when the smallest size was a men's 6.
Yes.
Last summer in Anchorage.
Actually lived in an Extra Tuft back then.
I was informed that people in Juneau shouldn't wear Extra Tufts because there's no fishing industry there. Yesterday, I spent half an hour trying to convince a seasonal friend she needed to get them rather than the cheap black cannery boots.
She needs to get a pair. They're fabulous.
What about bunny boots?
I have several pairs. Oh, I love that call from Fairbanks. That reminded me of like taking your tire pump to your boots,
right.
Blowing up your bunny boots, or just leaving your food in the car because it'll be frozen.
Right.
You know, for the winter, good. Like you got a bunch of TV dinners in the back seat.
All right, let's
TV
go
dinners. You're supposed to have a dead moose in your back seat. Damn it, Sham! What kind of Alaskan are you?
Did you hear that story already?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, go ahead. You got.
Let's go to Mary in Fairbanks. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Mary.
You're supposed to run over moose if you can.
Hi, Mary.
Hey, Steve.
Hi.
I just wanted to give a shout out to Peter Dunlop Scholl because I miss him. And
I miss you too.
That tune contest.
Well, I'll tell you, I do have a blog you can go to. It's called Frozen Grin. So,
oh, great.
It's wonderful.
Great.
Thank you.
Well, you know,
flog your blog. That's the rule.
That you know, during the whole Sarah Palin vice presidential thing was around the same time that, you know, you left Anchorage Daily News, because I tell you, I got calls from outside all the time. You know, emails, everything about what is up with this.
Oh, man, that was amazing. I was actually outside with my family visiting, and I come walking back to the airport, and there's like all these Sarah Palins looking at me from the magazine's rack. It was just eerie.
It's scary.
On so many levels.
It has not let up.
I think it's scary for her.
It's a show that never ends.
Yep, that's one of the great things. I'll tell you, I get letters from cartoonists that are just jealous of me.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you very much.
Frozen Grins?
Frozen Grin, yeah.
Okay, great.
At Blogspot, actually.
Okay, Shannon Moore, go ahead. Tell us your blog.
Oh, my blog? Yeah. I'm just a girl from Homer. So it's shannonmoore.wordpress.com. And I blog for the Huffington Post as well.
Indeed. Let's, I got so many, I don't know what to do. Something uniquely Alaskan. How about our obsession with the summer solstice? Except for maybe Sweden, nowhere else in the world do people celebrate the summer solstice like we do. Nonstop parties and events followed by our natural pessimism. Summer's over now. I'll bet in New York City nobody did anything special to celebrate June 21st from Elaine. Well, that's a good point. And you know, you could sort of extend it on into 4th of July and just keep the party going.
Well, one of the things that is unique about Alaska is that sun, which leaves everybody manic, and they do things like go for these overnight fishing trips and come back, and they're working next to you, and your guy's falling asleep at his desk, but he's got a fish there, so he's going to share it with you later. It's going to be okay.
It is. Well, it is seasonality. I mean, I think in the indigenous cultures, there's an understanding of seasonality that is not reflected in the Western culture that has since come to Alaska. And indeed, it's very hard to really explain the dimensions of seasonality to a visitor, because they don't know.
Well, we have two seasons. We have winter and we have road construction. I mean, that's basically our two seasons. That's hard to explain.
It's actually
to
road deconstruction and road construction are the two.
Then you get to fall when they put up those enormous visqueen tents over everything that didn't get built yet.
Right. Or someone asked me what the poles were on the top of all of our fire hydrants. They're like,
good.
What's with the stick on top of mine? It's like, oh, that's so that you can find them in the snow. And they're like, yeah, right. No, really, what are they for? And I'm like,
I tell them firemen can vault into the building if it's up there high enough.
No, it's there are so many things.
Which we don't even see because
that we don't even see. Well, I think I was telling you this story, Steve, that I had moved during the winter. This is 15 years ago or so. I had moved during the winter and I had unloaded a bunch of moose meat into my trunk of my car to move over to my freezer, my new one. And I had missed one great big moose roast, which if my father's listening, I'm sorry. It's a total blasphemy. But anyway, I was parked at Carr's Jewel Lake and it was like, you know, May. And this thing had thawed out and was leaking through. It was, you know, it's in the back of a trunk, so I wasn't smelling it or anything.
Right.
But anyway, I come out of Jewel Lake Cars, and I'm like, there's two men standing looking at my car, and there's blood dripping out of the trunk.
And the cops are on their way, they were from PETA. That's when you knew you were in trouble.
No, they're just like kind of looking at me like, lady, you got to... You know, couldn't you blue tarp the guy first, you know, kind of thing? There's another thing, blue tarps.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, crap, I forgot about that. Oh, and it thawed out. And they weren't really sure what to make of me. I actually had to show them what it was so that they wouldn't.
And then they said, are you going to eat that?
No.
Or can we have it?
Dear.
Our guests are Peter Dunlap-Scholl, cartoonist and filmmaker, Shannon Moore. Talk radio personality and widely read Huffington Post blogger. How's that?
Well, that'll work.
And along with the bunny boots, you got to say, why do you have to deflate them?
If you want to get your foot out.
An airplane?
If you want to get your foot out, you need
to. Yeah. Explaining that.
Thinking of bunny boots, I don't know if you're old enough to remember this, Shannon. We won't pry, but I remember when I was a kid, we used to have this great film they would show during school, and inevitably one or two kids would puke. And this was about frostbite. It was this film made by a guy named Bill Mills who was very interested in frostbite, and they would show this to warn you never to get frostbite. And I, by God, have never gotten frostbite, but I have been almost thrown up on. So did you watch that film when you were little?
I don't think I watched that film.
Oh, too bad. That must have been only an Anchorage thing, I guess.
I haven't seen it either.
Well, you know, I was in Homer. Who's going to get frostbite?
I know what a bleb is because I've seen that film.
Yeah, well,
but we had earthquake drills.
Oh, yeah, we had those too.
Yeah.
which I think at the time were also, they didn't tell us this, but it was in case anybody dropped the bomb as well.
Right, because Anchor Point was on the map.
That's right. Well, we had the Nike site right out of town.
And well, that's true. Up on the you hill did too. Hear. Yeah.
Well, didn't everybody have a Dewline or something? I think they did.
I guess you live
everywhere. Everywhere. One, no, you know, all over Alaska, all the coastal communities. There's all, you know, sure. something out of town that is an important defense installation that now is a source of toxic waste.
Right. So we've got to defend against that now.
Yeah.
Except for Homer. Nuclear-free zone.
Indeed.
Homer, Alaska.
Indeed. What's Alaskan is the issue, and our telephone number 1-800-478-8255 statewide from all over Alaska. Be interesting, I think, to hear from above the Arctic Circle about now. If you're calling from Anchorage, the telephone number is 550-8422. The email is talk@aprn.org. And the question is, what's Alaskan? What is so Alaskan you can't really explain it to a visitor? Let's go to Charles, joins the program from Southeast Sitka. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Charles.
Hi, folks, and thanks for the venue. Just a quick remark based on an article I read by a UAF professor recently. He called Alaskans, and I've thought about this since 73 when I became a resident, he called them dependent individualists. And it's an interesting notion because what it amounts to is that don't tell me what to do, make no law that restricts me, but I want every social service you can provide.
Right. Yeah.
By the way, I don't want to pay for it.
Yeah. You've been here since, what, you say 63? We're keeping track.
No, it's totally true. Hey,
thank you, Charles.
That we so have this, you know, the same people that want to secede from the union they want their checks.
Yep.
And it's just, and they don't even see the hypocrisy.
Actually, James Fowles came by the Daily News one time, and he said that Alaska was sort of the distillation of the American problem, which is getting plenty and feeling screwed.
Well, you know, there is a thing about, I mean, I used to listen to Ted Stevens' lecture on this repeatedly.
On how we're different?
On how Alaska didn't get the big hydro projects and all that sort of thing, and so we needed to get more now. And also because it's the frontier, and so in order to develop and in order to have economic development.
And they've been doing it for 200 years outside.
You know, those would be the lectures. But what I'm thinking is maybe it's somewhat uniquely Alaskan to be whiplashed by large events in the lower 48, which always seems to happen. We get hit by a sort of a whiplash. I mean, just look at our governor becomes interested in national office, and it just throws us into a huge thrash. You know what I mean?
That's an old Alaska story. For instance, we, for years, were controlled by the Seattle salmon interests and stuff. We've always felt like
it's
we're controlled
this colonization.
By anybody else. Yeah.
I mean, we have been colonized. Whether it, you know, originally it was like what, whales and fur, and then gold, and then fisheries, and then oil.
Russia from here, we used to be Russia.
And exactly.
Yeah.
And you know what I want to know? Who did Russia pay for Alaska? Oh wait.
I think basically
America bought Russia out of the back of a truck. I mean, bought Alaska out of the back of a truck.
No, it was a good deal. I'm sure they'd like to have us back if they could get that same deal.
Yeah. What is the Treaty of Session situation? You're aware of that, right? That the native claims were never really
ratified.
Yeah, by the Russians and never really sold to the United States by the Russians. So it's an unresolved little question out
so
there.
So learn your Russian out there, folks.
I actually think that's a very interesting legal argument. I've read through that, and then there's actually some really valid points to that.
There is.
I don't know what that means for us, but.
Nope. 1-800-478-8255. What's Alaskan is the subject. 1-800-478-TALK. If calling from Anchorage, dial 550-8422 because it's a local call. Email talk@aprn.org as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from First National Bank Alaska, branches in 18 communities around the state and on the web at fnbalaska.com. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Want to break your tobacco addiction? Call the Alaska Tobacco Quit Line at 1-888-842-QUIT. Register for free Quit Line counseling and nicotine replacement patches. The combined counseling and patches increase your chances of quitting for good. Trained quit coaches will help you set a quit date and send you information. Free quit services are available to all Alaskans. This message is from the Alaska Tobacco Quit Line, 1-888-842-7848.
It's Talk of Alaska, and we're dwelling on what's Alaskan for this hour. Kind of a little self-indulgence for Alaskans, because there's things you just can't explain to a tourist. Guests are Shannon Moore, talk radio personality and blogger, Peter Dunlap-Scholl, cartoonist, filmmaker, and blogger. And Shannon, I guess we'll call you a gal from Homer. And Pete, born in California, but quickly got here.
Right, that's right. I said to my parents, we should move north.
Yes, you did.
That's right.
I'm tired of being a California kid.
Not even a toddler.
I want to surf. I want to go out and kill bears with my bare hands.
Well, this one from Therese, the joy of a community is celebrated with open potlucks for weddings, births, birthdays, with the invitation posted in the paper, the heartbreak of death and sickness touches everyone and the arms of the community hug you. I have witnessed that. Yeah. I think that's, you know, in the villages and so forth.
I felt that.
Yeah.
And beautifully put. Yeah. That was really, that's something that I think that we've lost in part of our life getting easier, not needing each other so much. You know, the old, we used to have these, like if a house burnt down or someone was sick or whatever, these amazing pie auctions. This woman named Vi Chapman, who was a homesteader in Anchor Point, could make pie that was like, I don't know if she put heroin or crack or what in it. It was so fantastic.
Which goes everybody back to wanted them. Being fatter, actually. It's because we're community oriented.
Because we're community oriented. We need safety fat. That's my theory. It throws back to safety fat.
All right. Time to put Charles in the show. Charles and Sitka, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
How are you doing?
Very good.
Yeah, I'm in Sitka now, but I grew up in Anchorage, and I've lived all over the state. Barrow, Bethel, you know, worked all over Juneau for a long time and everything, but been down southeast now about 10 years. And one thing about being an Alaskan is you develop that extra layer of insulation. Yep. That helps you to deal with the inclement weather. You know, like you go up and you're up in Barrow and you see the guy known as Joe the Waterman, who drives the water truck around in the middle of the winter and hops out and goes and pumps water into your house, your tank outside your house, you know, for your water. And he's like wearing a T-shirt, and it's Barrow in the winter, you know. And he's like a guy who's like 5'8", 5'9", and maybe 150 pounds, you know. So it's not like he's got a lot of insulation, but you become that weather tough kind of deal. Or you go down and you're watching the finish of the Iditarod in Nome, and you see guys, you know, the tourists have everything in their suitcase on, and you look around the corner, and there are locals standing there in just like rugby shirts and, you know, Carhartts, and they don't even have a jacket on, you know?
Yeah, you know, Anchorage is the first place where I saw people strip down to shorts and so forth when it hit 50 degrees.
Oh, yeah, or Fairbanks, 25, they're pulling out lawn chairs.
Oh, you go up in Fairbanks, and, you know, my sister lives up there, and there's an active mountain, you know, bike commuting yep. group that's, you know, they're out there in the middle of the winter. It's 60 below, and they're out on their bikes.
Let me tell you, though, that's a very bad idea, because somebody, somebody has to sit next to you in class, and when your sweat starts thawing out, that girl sitting next to you is like, yeah, I would just be like, dude, go crazy. Use soap. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, the biking community, it's a wonderful, healthy thing. I've heard the ads, but for God's sakes, shower.
Yeah, I knew Shannon. I rode my bike over here.
I'm a bike commuter, so sorry, Shannon.
No, I'm not saying it's a bad idea. It's just like
she can't smell you on the radio.
In Fairbanks, in the wintertime, people don't realize how sweaty they are from doing this, like, excessive exercise, which is, you know, admirable, but
that's because they frosted their noses.
All right.
Of course, there's no smell like a hockey bag.
Or how about a tackle box?
What if you put your hockey gear in a tackle box?
A bait pail.
You'd probably have like a major Superfund site, which would bring money into the state to be a good thing. So,
jeez, I never thought we'd get to talking about stinks here. Okay, Charles, thanks.
Scratch and sniff radio.
Yeah. Thanks for the call from Sitka.
I love Sitka. That's my other favorite town in Alaska.
Your other besides what?
Homer.
Oh, of course.
Which is why she left Homer.
You know what? Sitka is absolutely phenomenal. Yep. Have you been there?
Yeah.
They have a really nice mayor now.
That's good.
Yeah.
They've got a great festival there.
Christy joins the program by email saying, well, it might be airline miles now, but it used to be how many times you had driven The Alcan.
Oh, yes.
Let's go to Joanne, joins the program from Homer, Alaska. Welcome to Homer's Talk of Alaska. Joanne?
Thank you. Yeah, I was born and raised here. Actually, my mom was raised here.
All right.
Yeah.
Can we solicit a call from somebody who hasn't been born here?
I think we need a little bell to ring wherever a person says, I've been here for 48 years.
See, that's the qualifier. Yeah. We do it. Yeah. And I'm.
but you trumped them all. Your mom, too. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Joanne.
Yeah, my family homesteaded in the 40s. So.
Uh-huh.
But one of the things that I think is kind of uniquely Alaskan was food growing up, because my mom was a single parent. And she wasn't making a lot of money, so every year she would hunt a moose, and that would be our meat for the year. And we'd grow potatoes and, the rhubarb and the strawberries and whatever else we could keep the sparrows out of. And
we eat the sparrows, actually.
Did your mom can the moose? My mom was, like, an amazing canner. She, like, canned everything. We drank out of mason jars. We ate out of mason jars. It was really a fantastic diet, I think, but like the canned mousse that you just pour out of the thing over rice is fantastic.
Huh.
Well, my mom considered rice a luxury because we couldn't grow it. There were times growing up that I thought, well, it would be nice to have, rice or pasta as something different, but we
so for Christmas
grow
you got
it,
potato
so
ricer and everything was just jolly after that.
All right, Joanne, thanks a lot for the call from home. We got more?
Okay. That and the fact that, it wasn't unusual for the moms to be hunting the moose. I think in a lot of places in the lower 48, the mom bringing in the moose would be a little bit unusual.
I think so, too. Yeah.
What about Milkman? Does anybody remember Milkman, the orange box with, like, the little girl with the milk mustache? And I thought real milk was disgusting because it was would stick to the inside of your mouth. Yeah. But powdered milk was it was white water basically.
Right.
And I can't tell you how many animals I've buried in a Milkman box and covered the little smiling
For later.
Milk not for later. The ones I didn't eat. Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Joanne. Thanks for your call from Homer.
Thanks for your giggle. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic, man. A homesteader giggle. Patricia, number one, the uniform of men is not the suit and tie, but extra tufts with pants. Wait a minute.
Carhartts.
There is Carhartts. Yeah.
I'm sorry. There is nothing like a really nice pair of Carhartts.
Oh, but get this.
How did you find nice Carhartts?
The pants are tucked into the extra tufts, and then there's a baseball hat.
I like the rolled down extra. That's how I like to wear my extra tufts, rolled down. They're more comfortable.
And here's one kind of like the mama hunting the moose, chaining up your car by yourself, hugely pregnant, just to get home from work.
Well, I was
talking. By golly, they might do that in Minnesota.
My mother went into labor with my sister and, of course, one vehicle. She put me on her back. I was a year old, put me on her back. And got out on the road, put her thumb out in labor with my sister, and hitchhiked. The first car picked her up. I mean, in the good old days.
In the old days.
When you were in labor, you could hitchhike.
I did that many times, actually.
Really?
When pregnant?
Lady, is your water going to break in my car? I hope not. Better drive fast.
Oh, let's go to Anchor Point and John. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, John.
AP.
How are you today?
Very good.
Good. Just one thought about the perfect utility vehicle here in the state of Alaska, and that's our old Subarus and what we do with them.
It's the Alaska National Car. Yeah, you're right about that.
Just about how in the summertime when subsistence fishing goes on and how much we have totes full of fish, and a lot of them slide out, as was mentioned about moose meat, a lot of them slide out and you end up having fish in the back of your car and rotting in the back.
Ooh. Ooh,
we're back to smells again. I think we want to change the subject here.
Yeah.
That's actually a mean trick to do to someone.
And one of the things
mean thing to do to a salmon.
One of the things that I remember having happened to me was on a late caribou hunt, we had gone and came back through Glen Allen, and by the time we came through Glen Allen, this was in the back of the truck, the caribou had frozen solid, and so when we got to Wasilla, we put it in the back of the Subaru, and I hauled it home. with the hooves sticking up everywhere, and I remember people looking at us coming back. And then I left it in there and got ribbed by the guys at work for a couple of days later because it stayed frozen.
Yeah, it stayed frozen.
So instead of a hood ornament, you had a kind of tailgate ornament there.
And it was a two-door hatchback, and how we got the whole caribou in there, I don't know.
All right.
They're flexible.
Thanks for that one, John.
They're the gymnast of the ungulate world.
I heard that the bakery that makes pilot bread is kept in business by Alaska.
I'm quite sure. But I love that stuff.
Yeah?
It'll keep you going. I mean, you can get up early, have a piece of pilot bread, and it'll stay with you for a long time. I'm not sure.
It'll haunt you, in fact.
What's in there? It'll haunt you. I don't know if I'd go that far.
Haunted.
It sticks to your ribs.
Yep.
Haunted by a cracker. Only in Alaska.
Well, we are haunted by crackers up here, but we're not going to go into that.
Let's go to Ketchikan. And Aaron, welcome to Talkable. You're having too much fun.
You are.
Pete.
You're too clever.
I'll have less fun. I'm sorry.
Well, welcome
making
to
everybody
Talkable
jealous
Alaska,
out there.
Aaron.
You guys are having too much fun.
Okay, we'll stop.
No, you guys are having too much fun.
Okay.
Sounds great. You guys are having a great show today.
Thank you.
I just wanted to mention, you guys alluded to the turkeys being dropped out of a plane.
Yeah.
I believe that was an episode of WKRP.
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh. That's probably it. Only somebody on radio can come up with an idea like that.
Yeah.
Actually, I do remember them dropping money out of planes here, which was...
Yep.
Everybody went out there. It was like an early iteration of the
plane. You guys mentioned the American money.
Yeah.
Do we take American currency? And what you forgot to mention was the exchange rate that you can get off the tourists.
Oh, for their American money?
Buy it correctly.
Oh!
That's right.
I never even thought of that.
It's about 10 cents on the dollar.
So you listen in, folks. There's your tip for the day.
Thanks, Aaron.
You'll ask in Heloise, Aaron.
Yeah.
That's great.
It works out. Hey, thanks a whole bunch, you guys, and have a great day.
All right.
Yeah, you too.
That goes to my opportunism thread there.
Yeah.
You know, that there's always somebody ready to make a buck off almost anything.
Well, I got a question about the premise of the show. I think one of the things about it is we like to think of ourselves as different. That's one of the things that Alaskans like.
Yeah.
And the Alaskans are often here for... like two reasons. One is they wanted to get away from something, and the other is there's people that want to get to something, and that is the Alaska that is in everybody's imagination outside, or was until like 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. But everybody saw
them 8 months ago.
The pristine waters and the big mountains and all that stuff. That great mm-hmm. stuff. That which is the reason our parents came here. I'm sure that's why mine came here.
Yeah.
And that's so there's people that are running away.
It was a dream for them.
And Alaska is, in fact, a place where dreamers come. Like Wally Hickel, he's got big dreams, and all these people that have big dreams, they come here because it's small enough where you can have your big dreams.
Right. And some of them have nightmares.
And some of us.
The Alaskan nightmare.
Those of us that survive it are the real Alaskans. That's why we'd like to say how long we've been here.
I mean, it's like there has to be a payoff for some of the sort of extreme things that we go through. So I guess that part of that is the elitism that we feel for being Alaskan. Like until a year ago, until the nomination
ceremony. Then it was like, all you talked about was...
Anywhere you went in the world, you had probably an adult beverage bought for you and an hour conversation if you said, I'm from Alaska.
Yeah.
Anywhere. And it was like... Oh, tell me about it, because you know the Jack London sort of northern exposure.
All that
stuff was people knew enough, or somebody had come here in World War II,
right.
or all these sort of things, and that image, and that's been that's changed. I think
they used to ask us if we lived in an igloo. Now they ask us, do you live in an igloo with Sarah Palin?
Yeah,
it is, and it's just so tempting sometimes to come up with a line. You know, because it's just
the
exchange rate.
Everybody's done that. Oh well, can I get a go bag for my my dog team? Whatever. Right. Like, and you're in Seattle.
Right. Margie in Kotzebue throws this one out, and Shannon, you alluded to this earlier. Anybody who buys items from the Lower 48 has experienced this. You can buy from big stores either online or on the phone, and when you give them your address, I'm sorry, we don't ship to Alaska. What is wrong with our money? If we want to pay for the shipping, why can't they ship to Alaska?
Well, we don't use American money. I think we talked about that earlier.
Well, it is true that sometimes they don't ship to Alaska.
I think
have a policy.
It has a lot to do with it's a longer way, and there's more chance of damaging, and then it's going to be a bunch of drama.
You'll be disappointed because you have to wait so long or whatever.
I thought we were the air cargo.
But I think they just want to work their way through the air cargoes and the ways that things are moved in Alaska, which is different than it is elsewhere. And they don't want to They don't want to deconstruct that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, we got calls galore. The subject is, what is Alaskan? Peter Dunlap-Scholl and Shannon Moore are the guests as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. In today's competitive business climate, the advantage lies in reducing cost and increasing efficiencies. A safe and healthy workplace reduces cost and improves productivity. To get started, contact the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development's Occupational Safety and Health Consultation and Training Program at 1-800-656-4972. Good, safe jobs are Alaska's future. This message is sponsored by the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development.
one 800 478 2551 800 478 talk 550 8422. If you're in Anchorage, email talk@aprn.org, and we won't even get through all the emails. This one from Mary. What's Alaskan? The huge scale. People don't get that.
Yep.
During the fire season, 7 million acres burned. Glaciers the size of Rhode Island. The what is our elevation at sea level is very common, but I've had them ask why the Alaska Marine Highway carries depth charges because of the way the life rafts look on there.
Oh my God. It's because we're afraid Russia's going to take us over. We got to be ready at all times.
People that sent emails are welcome to go over to my blog and post them there. I posted this question yesterday, and there's a lot of responses. Mm-hmm. So if we don't get through them all, I'd love to see them.
That was on there was the one about when you get to the airport and you go to the gate, and there's always nasty dressed people everywhere, and then you get to your gate, and there's like scruffy people that have extra tufts on and cards. And you know that you're all going to be together on the plane, and you're going home. Yep.
But
desperate to get home.
Clothes, yep, on the airplane quite frequently when they're destined to Alaska.
Well, I have two wardrobes. One is out of Alaska and one's in.
Mm-hmm.
What's Alaskan? How about this one? 40 years of mostly conservative government. We are the most social state in the nation. 90% of the land, many jobs. Check from everyone from the government, please. Plus, P.S. Dress for success means shopping in Army Navy.
I love that. That is true, though. We are the most socialist state.
And we have nobody to blame but ourselves because we're so small that we can just talk to our politicians. Well, if you want to just walk up to Don Young, you can go up to that, or to Sarah Palin or anybody. So.
Yeah, or try to make sense of that word salad. But what? We do. I mean, it was
either one of them.
How many? Right. How many people though have run campaigns as conservatives that said, "I'm not going to be able to get as much." You know, I'm the only one that can get pork.
And I'll protect your permanent fund.
And I'll protect your permanent fund. That's always the conservatives.
Let's go to Ken. Joins the program from Fairbanks. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Ken.
Hi. I was curious about how, all this modernization of, like, Anchorage and Fairbanks, the big cities, and, people come here, the tourists, and they see Walmart and Home Depot and...
they camp in their parking lots.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But just how it's going to affect the future image of our state. I mean,
I'll tell you one thing. When I drive down Diamond Boulevard and I see Borders Books and the Costco's and all that stuff, but behind it is the Chugach Mountains. And that's one thing that it's going to take millennia to change. And that's one thing that makes us different is the land here and the things that we can do with it. Even though, like you say, much of it is tied up by the federal government, there is still... there's just so much here where you can just... I had a friend that went to Connecticut and was thinking about taking a job there. Went to go hiking and couldn't find anywhere to go hiking. And that's when he realized he was in Alaska and came back and never thought about that again.
Yeah.
That is another thing that's uniquely Alaskan. How many people leave? They can't wait to get out of here. And, 2 years later, they're dragging back up.
That always makes you feel smug, doesn't it?
It is. there are, like, for instance, around Talkeetna, they were very unhappy when they started taking the trees out because they thought, we got tourists coming up here, and it's just not going to look real pretty to fly over clear cuts. I think they had a point.
Clear cuts are damn good to a logger, I think.
I think as time goes on, I think you're right. Alaskan,
just an observation.
Alaska gets less so.
John McPhee in Coming to the Country described Anchorage as looked like somebody taking a cookie cutter, stuck it down in Albuquerque, whisked it up like 1,000 miles over the wilderness and then dropped it right in the most beautiful spot in the world.
What is it? Ugliest city, prettiest place or something that was said about Anchorage at one point?
The thing that's great about Anchorage
is it's getting better. It's getting prettier.
Well, that's true.
It's taking a while.
I didn't realize how ugly it was until I went outside to go to school. And it's like, oh, my God, they've got flowers here. That's like, I also got hay fever. I never had that before either.
Well, bricks. They actually build with bricks.
Well, you don't build with bricks here because your house will fall down when the big bad wolf shakes the earth and you have a big earthquake.
Oh, like yesterday.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm in a frame house.
Let's go to Jenny in Sitka. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Jenny.
Good morning. I just thought that one of the things that I find uniquely Alaskan is what women get instead of diamond rings when men propose to marry them.
I might be still waiting for it to come through over the mail system.
Well, I had a conversation, a cookout with women. My husband went to a yard sale and bought me a lovely couch on the day he asked to marry him.
Couch for that's great.
We had never had a couch.
Has he got off of it yet?
I had a friend who got an electric canner.
Nice.
So before the couch, you were
at this picnic. A woman got a skiff and a new outboard motor, and she had us all beat.
Oh, see, you know what? Yeah, you had me at skiff and outboard. That's a yes.
Absolutely. And I really feel that someone should do like Hallmark used to have of wedding anniversary gifts for Alaskans. I think that most women remember when their husband gave them their first Leatherman. and when they bought you expensive rain gear because it was
because you were worth it,
right? They didn't want you to die because you were like the only woman that would say yes to them in the entire state.
Yes, probably so.
And what about that? What about the? It's funny you bring this up. You know, we were so outnumbered for so many years. I think it's more 50-50 now than it used to be. But it was at one point. What was it? One woman for every 10 men. And the saying was the goods are odd, but the odds are good.
No, the odds are good.
It's the other way around. Hey,
you're thinking of the
depends
women.
On who you are.
Alaska, from Anchorage to Dillingham, I was the only woman on the plane, and Dragnet was flying their cannery workers from Kenai to Dillingham, and it was a really bizarre. Even the airline attendants were men. It was the most bizarre airline flight I'd ever taken.
Well, Pan Air can be weird often, you know, because you have all those fishermen and hunters also coming in there, and you never quite know what you're going to get on one of those planes.
I've seen people put stuff in overhead racks that you would not see anywhere else, I think.
Well, thank you very much for a wonderful show.
All right, Jenny, thank you. Let's go to Jan, joins the program from Fairbanks. What's Alaskan, Jan? Hi, Jan. You there? Oop, might have lost her. Let's go to Brenda in Deering, finally, up there to the Arctic Circle. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Brenda.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to make a couple comments. One is on Pilot Bread.
Yes.
In 1965, I went down to Dallas, and I went to the local Safeway, and they had never heard of Pilot Bread. So it's unique to Alaska. And my other comment is when U.S. senators and representatives want to pass gun control and take our guns away from us, they should come up here and we'll put them out in the middle of nowhere without a gun and see what they think.
And no Pilot Bread.
Yeah.
No Pilot Bread.
All right. Thanks, Brenda. That's
Thank
good.
You.
You can get a form of Pilot Bread in Hawaii. I have noticed that.
I think it floats over there from here.
Okay.
It just floats over.
Time's
a waste, and let's go to Tricia in Fairbanks. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Tricia.
Oh, hello. This is Tricia. Thank you, Brenda. Yes. I go blueberry picking in some very strange places, and I wouldn't want to be without my gun.
Yeah.
But my yes, this is Tricia, and I have a story to tell.
Go.
Okay, go. I raised my boys in a 640-square-foot log cabin outside of Alaska, Fairbanks, in Gulfstream. And we had to go outside for medical treatment. But I had bought my first new upright freezer, and it had everything in it, the caribou, the moose, a set of net, and all the salmon. And then when we came home, got all the kids settled, and I heard the scrunching noise. I couldn't figure out what it was for a couple of days. But then I went out to get, like, the blueberries and the fish and went out there, and I opened my freezer, and the entire thing was filled with maggots. Like, crawling with, like, a million billion.
So, obviously, there had been a power failure.
Exactly. Exactly. And I didn't know what to do because it with my new freezer.
Yeah,
I'd self-bait, I think, is what you got to do at that point.
Yeah, major purchase. And so I thought and thought, you know, that day, what am I going to do? I thought, oh, no, I'll just plug them in and I'll freeze them.
Yeah?
And I plugged it in, and it took 2 days for the sound to stop.
The little maggots crying out in the agony and screaming.
Oh,
and
I know. I mean, but
oh my God. Our listeners are never going to get a more Alaskan story than that one.
And so finally, they were froze to silence.
The Never Teller took them out with a nuclear warhead.
Thank you.
Hey, PETA's on the other line.
And I bleached my whole freezer, and I'm still using it.
All right.
This day,
oh, where'd you say you were again? We want to make sure we don't want to stop by your house for dinner.
Tricia, thank you. Outside of Fairbanks, thank you so much.
Outside of Fairbanks, okay. Everywhere outside of Fairbanks is off limits.
It's it. It's over. Let's go to Mike. Joins the program from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Mike. Hello, Mike.
He couldn't top that.
Oh, well. Yeah. Okay, let's try Sylvia then in Cordova. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Sylvia.
Hello. Hi. Hey, I tuned in late, but loving these stories.
Yeah.
One thing I've noticed that most of you folks obviously get out into Alaska outside of Anchorage.
Yes.
And my experience is I go to Anchorage really for very few reasons. One is to go to meetings that I'm kind of have to do, and then the other is to shop. And I call that Arion Diamond, the land of the giants, where those box stores
right.
exist. But one thing I always do is strike up a conversation with the folks that are working the checkout counters, and they don't know where Cordova is. They don't know which direction it is. They don't know why I'm buying boxes, and they didn't know there was a ferry even in Prince William Sound. And I'm kind of struck every time I visit Anchorage how little about Alaska Anchorage folks know.
And yeah, you know, that's a theme. That's really been the theme that's emerged in this program, that the old-time Alaska in the urban centers just ain't anymore.
Isn't the saying what Anchorage is 5 minutes from Alaska?
Yeah, yeah, and I think it's kind of been that way for a while, and probably going to stay that way. Hey, I want to thank you, Sylvia.
When you commented that Anchorage was getting prettier and nicer looking, I consider it getting more gentrified and perhaps less Alaskan.
It is. It could be Kansas City. We have the exact same stores, and everybody's holding their breath waiting for the Olive Garden to open. It's just insane. It's like, what are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Is it coming?
I listen to you. No, but you know what
I mean? Thank you very much. We're out of time. Peter Dunlap-Joel, thank you.
You're welcome.
And Shannon Moore, thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve.
And thanks, everybody who called and contributed to the program. And you can go to our website or to Shannon's website and add yet more. Thanks to Gooseberry Peter on the controls, Lynn Anderson.
This is a production of APRN, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at aprn.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400. Want to break your tobacco addiction? Call the Alaska Tobacco Quit Line at 1-888-842-QUIT. Register for free Quit Line counseling and nicotine replacement patches. The combined counseling and patches increase your chances of quitting for good. Trained quit coaches will help you set a quit date and send you information. Free quit services are available to all Alaskans. This message is from the Alaska Tobacco Quit Line, 1-888-842-7848. The Alaska Comprehensive Health Insurance Association was created by the legislature to provide insurance coverage for Alaskans who may feel they have become uninsurable. It offers hope to people with certain high-risk chronic illnesses or those who have exhausted employer-based insurance, and to some under 65-year-olds who are Medicare eligible. Find out more. Ask an insurance broker about ACHIA. More information at www.achia.com. This message sponsored by the Alaska Comprehensive Health Insurance Association.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.